Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Andy Troy Show, where you can sample all the great things New York has to offer. For the next 60 minutes, I'll not only clue you into some great things to do around town, but we'll also chat with some interesting local personalities. Tonight's show will feature professional clowns, Barbara Ann Michaels and Lynn Levy. But first, our shameless plugs. For those of you who haven't read my anti-aging book, Living Young, 32 Habits of Ageless People, there's no time like the present. It's always the right time to stay young and get healthy. Also, if you're going to live a long time, you might as well enjoy it. So check out my DVD, The Bedroom Workout for Men, on how to improve men's sexual performance through exercise. Both are available on Amazon.com and my website, AndyTroy.com. Remember that if you bring my book to any of my events, I will be happy to autograph it for you. Speaking of which, our next event will be this Friday night, my semi-annual alternative belly dance show, featuring New York's top dancers performing to non-traditional music. The date is this Friday, November 18th from 6 to 10 p.m. The location is Taj Lounge, 48 West 21st Street, between 5th and 6th Avenues. Admission is free. There'll be lots more surprises. It'll be a great night, so come join us. The details for this and all my monthly events are on my website, tastingnyc.com. The Andy Troy Show has a page on Facebook, a fan page that contains links to previous shows, as well as pictures of all our past guests. Check it out by punching The Andy Troy Show into your Facebook browser. If you haven't heard my animal rescue song, Hoping for Another Morning, you can both hear the song and see the video by going to YouTube and punching Hoping for Another Morning into the browser. My good friend and producer John Anello, a.k.a. Johnny Mandolin, has a CD called La Voce Mia. Order your copy today at johnnymandolin.com or call E. Rossi at 212-226-9254 and they'll hook you up. Finally, sponsors, we want them. If you'd like to promote your goods and or services to our vast listening audience, contact the station or me directly at andyftroy@aol.com. Okay, time for clowns. And they were actually doing some kind of clowning during my reading. I saw handshakes going on and all sorts of various. And Lynn actually has a big red nose. You had a glass of wine earlier. Yeah. Did that have anything to do with that?
Possibly.
Do you have a fixation for big red noses? Every time I see you, you're wearing one of those things.
Well, that was Halloween. Oh, sorry. It gets in the way sometimes.
Tell us more.
Oh, no. There's nothing more to tell.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Okay. Back to Barbara. Yeah. Okay, now, how did you guys meet?
I know that Lynn came to clowning in the park events that I was running.
Well, we actually
over
met
a year
in
ago.
A social media class.
Oh, yeah. We met in a social media class.
What is a social media class?
We were studying with...
Don't people know how to talk to each other and stuff?
People knew how to talk to each other, but that was when they were in the same room. Now they're in different rooms with little machines in between them, and so they have to learn how better to talk to each other through their little machines.
People have bad manners on the internet, is what you're saying?
Can you believe that?
No, I don't.
It's actually really shocking.
I thought only really cool together people got into chat rooms and did that kind of stuff.
Everyone's always very respectful to each other. It's
oh,
true.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Especially on YouTube.
Okay. Now, well, what makes a good clown, by the way? You're the real pro. You're the mentor. You are the Yoda of clowns here, Barbara. So,
well, I think that a story to illustrate that is Lynn's first experience of clowning. So... I was running these events in Central Park called Clown Curious to bring people who had never clowned before to put on a red nose, and just a red nose with their regular clothes, not makeup, not costumes, not hair, not the things that a lot of people associate with clowns, which clowns don't necessarily need. Those are just things that can be part of a performance. And she was a little shy on her first moment, yeah. But then as soon as she put on the clown nose and started to feel what that felt like, she just started to run across the park, and she was suddenly this free sprite woman, joyful.
She basically
went berserk and never looked back. And when you say what makes a good clown, it's feeling that present moment, opening yourself up to it, and just saying yes, which is exactly what happened to Lynn.
Is there a chi of clowning? What do you guys call that?
The chi of clowning? You mean like the
yeah, is there, an inner force, or?
Absolutely.
Can the force be with you?
The force. Well,
what is it? What do we call that in clown vernacular?
Yeah, joie de vivre. That's a great title for it. Really good clowning is based on listening and creating a moment of togetherness between yourself and the person that you are clowning with. You basically bring that person into your alternate clown universe and hang out there with them and help them bust out of their reality and jump into your world.
You drive people psychotic, basically. There's a psychotic break involved in this somewhere.
Well, it's funny that it can often
feel... You deserve a break today, should be your slogan.
You deserve a break today. It can often feel gentle or funny or outrageous. And one of the most important things to understand about that is participation in a clown moment can look like a lot of things.
Yeah.
It can be really bold, like, hey, I want to play with you. I want you to jump around. It can look like, hey, I want to stand over here and just watch. Or, you know, people aren't interested. They'll just walk away. Success as a clown is really, did we connect?
What percentage of the people stay? And what percent run in fear?
I think it depends on where you are. In Central Park, I would say...
Yeah, in church, probably it doesn't go over that well.
Actually, there's a very large Christian clown community that for people who use clowning for advancing their spiritual...
Oh, I
got
to know more
missions.
About that.
Yeah, it's a really, really big national movement.
Is this like the extreme right are into clowning now? The Bible Belt are into clowning?
Yeah, I think so.
The Bible Belt equipped with a little spray flower?
Yes.
What sort of props do you guys use, by the way? Because you mentioned something about people think you got to have all this. Is it like an attitude for clowns who use too many props, or are you into the props?
I think that you use what you need. It's not like there's the clown prop store and you go over there and buy the official clown props from the official clown prop store. I mean, there are things that you can, like if you go to a costume store, there are things that say, this is your clown gear. But in reality, it's what's in your kitchen that you can play with right now? What's in this park that you can play with right now? Can you play with this bench? Can you play with this fork or this spoon?
Really? So
yeah, really.
You can pretty much take anything and go to town.
Yeah.
Actually, I was just in...
Can we get her a spoon? Yeah, grab that fork over there. See if she tempted to stick that in my eye before the end of the show. I want to see you doing funny stuff. All right, we're going to give her a chance to work it into her act. It'll be great for radio. All right, now, Lynn, do you use props? I see you're obviously fond of the nose.
I'm very fond of my nose. This is my ultra personality.
Wow.
I think.
Hardly even know it was you.
But actually, I want to go back to props because I was in Central Park a few weekends ago with some friends, and I wanted to do a breaking expectations outing. And breaking expectations is one of the main principles of clowning. So, and it's also a basic premise of comedy as well. It's what makes things funny. So I wanted to like just find examples that we could just use right then and there that would look odd and would be unusual. So we started brushing our teeth with branches of pine tree. That drew a few curious looks.
There's probably a lot of people doing that in Central Park.
Yeah,
and a lot of them have big red noses too, actually.
And we were like praying to the garbage cans and yeah.
Okay. Did you teach her that?
Did I teach her that specific
praying to garbage
that
cans
specific spiritual activity? No.
Is that
not
like
that
dumpster
specific.
Diving? What is that?
They were just lined up so neatly and one just stood out and we just thought we should worship.
You're turned on by trash, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, I have to admit it.
The basic principle behind doing that is
I have to get you some Andy Warhol movies.
You go with what's happening at the moment. So if you have this impulse to do, if you have this impulse to go and genuflect before a trash can, then you just go do it.
Yeah, you can do
this
it.
Sounds very liberating. You can kind of do whatever the hell you want, huh?
Oh,
yeah. You can do whatever you want, and you can bring other people into that world of play. I mean, there's so many rules and restrictions that we put upon ourselves. Like, if you're in line at the bank, you're not supposed to dance. That's not written anywhere. It's just what usually happens at the bank. But
do you dance at the bank?
Sometimes.
Okay. Lynn, dancing at the bank?
I haven't done that one yet, no.
No, I didn't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think you've liberated her fully.
Well.
Can we have any kind of ceremony when that happens?
The liberation ceremony?
A Lynn liberation ceremony.
I think I was present at the first Lynn liberation ceremony, which is what I was describing before.
Really?
Yeah.
When she went racing madly through the park?
It was so beautiful.
Brushing her teeth with pine trees?
I have pictures of it.
Do you have those with you? I'll break them out. I want to see that. Okay, now, a lot of people are afraid of clowns. What would you say to these people?
Sometimes people become afraid of clowns because they've encountered a performer who doesn't have really finely tuned listening skills, or for whom listening is not the first thing that they're doing.
I saw It.
Yeah?
It's a Stephen King movie with a killer clown.
And did that scare you?
Not really, but I could see, you know, that a lot of people think of that when they think of clowns, is that kind of, or the Seinfeld episode with the maniac clown that went after Kramer.
I think it's easy to cast clowns in a crazy light because clowns do unusual things that are outside the norm. But in fact, clowning is really about making a connection with people, not overwhelming them with your energy or not being outrageous at someone else's expense.
Well, you know, Diana Navarro, who was another host on the station, flunked out of clown school, she told me. Did that happen a lot?
I don't know.
Well, did you go to clown school? Have you sought higher education?
I have done a lot of workshops in clowning with different teachers around the world. Clowning is very much an oral tradition, as is a lot of physical theater, as is a lot of improv comedy, as are the rules of stand-up, which you may know yourself.
Rules? I never know. I had to pick it up on the streets. Nobody ever taught me nothing.
Yeah.
Learn me something. What shouldn't I do?
In what context?
That's
a really broad, awesome question.
Yeah, I thought we could do whatever we want. We're clowns.
Yeah, you do whatever you want, and yet there's also, you also have to pay attention to the relationship, because if you're opening a door and someone doesn't want to walk through it, that's okay. They just move on. You find the next person who wants to play.
Okay. When do you want to play?
Always.
Okay. That sounded like a whole other show. All right. So, now, do you guys think the Insane Clown Posse gave you a bad name?
You know, I have to admit, when you sent us the questions to look at, I didn't know who the heck they were.
You need to learn about the Insane Clown Posse. That's your people.
Are you serious?
That's a band. You never heard of them?
The rappers.
Yeah.
No, I never heard of them.
They're scary. You know, how do you know they're rappers then?
Well, I looked it up on Saturday. Well,
they're pretty scary, actually.
There's a lot of folklore, because clowning is an oral tradition as it's taught. There's a lot of folklore about how some things became the way they were. And there's one story I've heard about early American clowns learning to clown for the circus. And so if you have a clown in the middle of a big circus ring and the entire audience is far back, that clown needs to have big emotions, big costume, huge hair, huge eyes, huge everything in order to communicate what they're trying to communicate to the people in the back row. So some clowns went on to be performers who learned this, and some clowns went on to be teachers. But if you take that situation and put it on the street, you have a clown trying to do really big energy in a really small environment right close up to another person, and that can be overwhelming for the other person. So close-up clowning, regular person on the street clowning, is a different art form.
Are those classes that one would take at clown college, close-up clowning and regular person on the street clowning, are those?
I don't
How did
think
Lynn
so.
Do in close-up clowning?
Well, you're close to her right now. How's it feeling?
Yeah, I'm having a very pleasurable experience.
And she's doing great.
She's doing okay, but there's not a lot of clowning going on. She's not really doing anything clownish other than the nose.
Oh, well, see, it's
do some crazy stuff.
See, it's not about performing for me.
Okay.
For me, it's about connecting with people and just being very
That's why I have this show. I want free performances.
Andy,
Barbara's over there entertaining me with the fork.
It's true.
She's very good, yes.
Andy, when you think about clown, what do you think a clown is? Like, what's in your imagination about what a clown means?
Well, I think of Bozo. He was one of the famous clowns when I was a youngster. And so I do think of that type of zany thing, but I also think about the scary clowns. That's one of the things that comes into my head. You guys got to see It. It's long, but it's got a lot of impact.
Somehow.
Yes. It's important to all of us that you see this film. We're getting together. We're all going to put on our red noses and get a six-pack. And watch It. For 3 hours.
A lot of people, when you say the word clown to someone in America, they think of birthday party performers wearing a lot of makeup and a huge costume, doing things like making balloon animals and doing face painting, which are visual art forms, which also take practice to do well. So,
and a lot of killing.
Depending on the party. And there's also, so there are clowns that do theater style clowning and also party style clowning. I tend to know more performers in this town of New York City that do theater kind of clowning coming out of the physical theater tradition, which is what I do. So there's an educational opportunity to expand the definition of clowns towards physical theatrical performers.
Is there any kind of attitude of the theatrical clowns, like, you do birthday parties? Like, I know that with belly dancers sometimes, you know, you get the real performers in a club as compared to someone who's just doing, like, you know, 65th birthday parties at the Knights of Columbus Hall.
Yeah, I think that sometimes there is, but I think that there's also to be with a lot of children and to hold that room well and to give everyone a good time, there's a lot of crazy energy there. You have to be a strong person to be able to hold all of that and give everybody a good time. So, I mean, I respect the art form. It's just, I just don't do a lot of it myself.
Okay, we're actually going to go to a commercial break. And when we come back, we'll have more funny business.
Yay.
Hello, my name is Anthony Teresa, owner and producer of Blue Knight Recording Studio in beautiful Orange County, California, just outside Los Angeles. As a guitarist, vocalist, bassist, session player, producer, and engineer, I have either played or recorded on over 400 CD projects. Let me tell you, it's not easy to record your own music. My goal is to help you to be the best you can be behind the mic and in the tracking room. We'll get the best possible sounds from your voice and instruments. Do you need musicians? I've got them. The top session players in Southern California and Los Angeles. Let's make your recording project a reality. You can contact me by phone at 949-338-0293. That's 949-338-0293. Or contact me at email at catduo@earthlink.net. Looking forward to hearing from you. Take care and have a great week.
Hello, Chintani listeners. This is Christina Fontanelli, and I want to invite you to my much-loved upcoming Christmas in Italy performances in New York City, also San Diego and San Pedro, California. On Sunday, November 27 at 3 p.m., my 8th annual Christmas in Italy concert will take place at the Danny K. Playhouse at Hunter College on East 68th Street between Park and Lex. Call the box office, 212-772-4448. And for more information, www.christinafontanelli.com. Please be sure to catch me also as PBS host of Andrea Bocelli's historic Central Park concert, filmed in September and airing on your local PBS station beginning of December. Buon Natale!
Okay, we're back, and during the break, Barbara, while she entertained me with the fork, was also telling me that you're doing something, you're training secretaries at some sort of clown symposium or something. What is this?
I'm teaching second graders.
I thought you said secretaries.
That's funny. That's a good clown moment. Mishearing is a great comic technique that clowns use all
Making
the time.
Making fun of deaf people works for you. Okay.
I'm teaching a residency at the Lycée Français on the Upper East Side. So
it's second graders.
Second graders. Learning.
How did they
clowns.
Get jobs as secretaries?
I think over time, and it's probably even helpful if you have a clown attitude being a secretary, because there's a lot of repetition in some of the things that you need to do, and you need to pay attention to everything at the same time. So if you have a good sense of comedy, you can make that
work. Right. Now, you said something about, it was interesting, about the kind of little universe that the clowns are in, that they don't think they're clowning.
Yeah, so with theater clowns, I mean, you have a persona. It's like your alternate, I mean, Lynn said before she puts on her nose and it's her alternate persona. And that's true. And the clown lives in a clown world that has certain clown rules. And I'm not saying that there's clown rules that are the same for every performer. I'm just saying that you go off into that world and your clown will do what it does. And I will often hear performers say, wow, she did this, or my clown did that. And so when audience members encounter clowns, they get to kind of jump into this other reality. It's not like the clowns are being different and crazy all the time just to be different and crazy all the time. It's like, hey, this is my alternate universe. Come on in.
So the clowns just are crazy.
But only they're only crazy in context. So what I say to the second graders is, okay, how do you brush your teeth every day? And then they say, well,
obviously
you say,
we know, like a branch of a tree.
Yeah, you use a branch of a tree and you put the toothpaste on it and you put it in your mouth. They say, well, if you were a clown, what would you do? And they get crazy in their mind. Like, well, I would take the toothbrush and I would put the toothpaste all over my face and then I would make little holes where my eyes are and then I would sing or, you know, whatever they're going to say because they're second graders.
That's scary.
But the thing is that adults also, when I teach adults, it's the same thing.
All right, now, well, Lynn peeled off her nose during the break. Is that like stripping or anything?
Yeah, is that, I exposed myself.
Is that kinky at all when you start showing some nose?
Yeah.
I was kind of getting turned on. Okay, now.
Well, it is said that one does not necessarily take their nose on and off in the presence of others. It's a private activity.
Really? Is that a kind of a thing like, you know, like the mascots? They say it's like really taboo to take the head off a mascot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you think about the clown nose, if you've worn a mask or think about a full face mask and you make it smaller and smaller and smaller, the smallest possible mask is the red nose on the end of your nose.
Have you done any mascot work, Barbara?
Mascot work? Yes. I once rode a donkey as a Power Ranger.
You rode a donkey as a Power Ranger for what?
I was in a documentary writing program and I was studying people who had unusual careers. I think you did a show about this recently.
Yes, I did.
And so I was following a belly dancer and a woman who did singing telegrams and a guy who was a balloon pilot, a hot air balloon pilot, and someone who was a physical comedian.
Are these people in New York, by the way?
No, they were in Portland, Maine.
Oh, okay, because I know someone who does singing telegrams.
Yeah.
I know a couple of belly dancers.
But I've done a lot of different characters. All the characters that I've ever invented are all clowns underneath.
All right, we don't want to leave Lynn out here. Now, she has a website called lynnlevity.com.
Yes.
Now, tell us what's going on with that.
Well, basically, that's sort of something I put together on my journey. I started a spiritual journey, seriously, about 5-6 years ago, and I've totally transformed my personality, my being.
What were you like before?
Oh, my God. I was very unhappy. I was very withdrawn. I was very shy. I would never, ever be on a radio show like this. I would never do clowning. Lots of stuff.
And
so,
what drew you out?
Well, it was a lot of inner, deep work, looking at yourself. I think a lot of people tend to not want to do that, but it's really important in transformation to know yourself, to listen to yourself, and to face yourself.
When you look in the mirror, do you see a big red nose?
Not always.
No.
No, but sometimes you can see the sparkle in your eyes.
Yeah.
Do you do the big red nose, Barbara?
Yes.
I haven't seen you with it. Why didn't you bring the nose?
I didn't bring a nose.
That's shocking
to me.
I can borrow one from Lynn. She has a lot.
Okay, we're going to have to get a picture of these ladies later, with and without the nose, I think. That'll be kind
of
exciting.
How will you recognize us with and without the nose? It'll be like we're totally different people.
I was going to ask you that, because, you know, you guys wear a bunch of stuff. I mean, I don't know how much you wear when you do your clown thing, but I assume sometimes a lot.
It really varies very widely.
And you're kind of getting well-known. You were, like, they did something on the Learning Channel on you, I think, right?
On the Learning Channel? I was on a wedding show. Because I also marry people as the jester of the piece. And
yes,
I performed a wedding on the Four Weddings show.
Okay.
Yeah. I do costume and adventure weddings, which is why I call myself the jester of the piece. The show that was on Four Weddings wasn't a costume wedding, but I've started to do more and more of them and really niche my wedding work in that direction.
Okay. Now, since you have had some press coverage, I think there was some other press coverage I read about with you, right?
Yeah, I had I did a wedding in Central Park a year ago on New Year's Eve day where the couple were going for the world record of renewing their vows. And the couple wanted to do Beatles in the park, and which would be very beautiful.
This is renewing their vows, not necessarily getting remarried and divorced a bunch of times.
Yes, that's true.
Okay.
Which would take a lot of time. So when we brought her to the costume store, she really didn't like any of the Beatles stuff. So someone brought her over a disco outfit, and they put the disco outfits on, and they felt totally enlivened. And so then they thought, well, who's going to marry us then? And then someone brought over an Elvis suit. And so that became me, and I conducted their wedding as Elvis and wrote them a ceremony that quoted from several different artists, including Elvis. And it was really a blast. And we had those roller skaters in the Central Park Disco Association. So you could say, why would anyone want to get married in disco outfits by Elvis in the winter with roller disco skaters? Because it expresses a part of their personality that was very natural to them.
Have either of these people been institutionalized? What the hell kind of person is that in their personality?
So the Daily News came to that, which was great, and Fox came to that. So okay. When I'm doing these unusual weddings, the really important thing to understand is there's always a reason, a really genuine reason why people choose to do something unusual. It's not because they're just like, wow, I'm crazy, I want to be crazy. So another example of that is I married two women who've been together 18 years, who have a 3-year-old son. They wanted to have a family-friendly wedding for their kids, for all the kids in their family. And so I was a referee. Their little son was a referee. They had the wedding in a sports complex. There was games everywhere. They had to have games and playfulness because they're the people in their community who are always creating the scavenger hunt for their community. So there's always a reason. If you see people especially on the internet, because that's where a lot of these photos end up, if you see people on the internet having weddings that look really crazy, take the next step and think about, well, what's part of their life that would make them do that? Because there's always something sincere.
Are you going to work Lynn into this business at all? Do you plan on getting involved with the clown wedding business?
No, I don't think so.
Why not?
That's what you think.
I know, who knows?
Can't we see you as, like, I don't know, what would we dress you up as? What do you think would be good for her? What would be a good...
For Lynn was at the Elvis wedding, actually. She took a video of it.
But was she dressed up as anything?
No, but...
Gene Simmons. What do you think? I think she could do a good Gene Simmons. How long is your tongue? Not bad.
Actually, on Halloween, I had a blonde wig, and I put freckles on my cheeks so I could be a hillbilly clown. That went over pretty well.
Okay. That's adorable.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. You were doing a little West Virginia humor earlier. Okay, now, you also, what goes on at your play? Play shops, right? What do you do?
Well, it's a blend of play and energy balancing and centering. So I want adults to have more fun and more play and more joy and passion and sensuality in their lives. So I do incorporate some clowning and some tantra exercises, but they're not like overtly, you know, sexual or anything. But it's like eye contact, prolonged eye contact.
There's clown porn, I think, actually.
I'm sure there is.
I don't know if we've had that, but that could be like a whole new field.
Yeah.
So how did you get involved in that? Are you like some sort of tantra trained individual?
No, this is all a combination of things that I made it my mission last year to bring a lot more joy and laughter and play into my life. So I did a clowning presentation in May for a big group of people, and everybody loved it. It was all clowning exercises. But after that, I was like, well, maybe I can combine all this stuff and make it a multidimensional experience. So it's not just about clowning, but it's like to bring all these great... Because I think we go through our days, we just whiz through them, and we don't clown enough. We don't indulge our senses. We don't get touched enough.
We don't feel our inner red nose.
Yeah.
Now, someone just wrote in, actually, me too, I want to have more fun. Now, what does someone do if they want to, I guess, either be trained by Barbara, her eyes are getting wide, she's getting very serious. I'm telling you, she's got a whole Yoda thing happening. And or Lynn, if you want to do whatever it is you do to people, what do they do?
Well, my website is full of tips and, you know, tools on how to bring some more of that in based on what I've experienced. And I think also coming to play shops, right now it's just New York City area, but I want to somehow get it online.
Now, you offer different levels. Can you be like a black belt of clowning?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm there yet myself.
Is Barbara, would she be considered a black belt clown?
A black belt clown? I don't think so. I mean, it's an art form that just evolves and evolves and evolves.
So, Yeah, but shouldn't people be able to have mastered a certain degree of clowning?
There are teachers who have been in the business for a really long time and teach widely. I actually have a friend who lives up in New Rochelle. His name is Michael Getlin, and he's doing a project right now writing a book about clown teachers around the world. And so far he's interviewed, I think, 35 clown teachers. And he said that the question that is, he asked them the same 10 or 12 questions, and the question that's always different is, what is clowning? And they define it differently every time, which I found fascinating.
Give me a couple of examples.
Of what they've said?
Yes.
I haven't heard his research yet because he's still in the middle of it. That's just what he said to me.
Okay.
I think it's you should try to maybe get away from training so much. As, you know, anyone can clown, and it's all about spontaneity. For me, at least, that's my experience, and that's what I love to do. It's so, as long as you're open to playing, and you are able to gauge what the people around you and you approach can handle, then...
Are you a spontaneous person, would you say?
Sometimes.
More and more.
More and more, yeah.
So you're moving in the direction of spontaneity.
Yeah.
I think that there's a difference between going out there in any performative situation and thinking, this is what I'm doing, and changing that over to think about, this is what we're doing. Clowning is an interactive art form, and everyone's been to plays where you go to the theater and everyone on the stage pretends you're not there. However, with clowns, it's all interactive, and the entire point is to be with the audience, whether that's one person or 1,000 people in an arena.
Now, the press coverage that you've received, how much do you feel like that's helped your career? Do you get a lot more calls as a result of this?
It all goes forward. Yeah, I mean, it all goes forward. And now, as I'm doing more of the costume and adventure weddings, which for me artistically is a way to bring my theater background. I mean, I already have backgrounds in journalism and writing and acting and improv. So the costume and the playfulness that I've been studying as a clown, I can use that to serve people's celebration of their relationships and marriage. So it all goes in a good direction, yeah.
Now, give me a couple of examples of weddings that you're planning or that you offer through your site.
I don't offer like cut and paste weddings. You can call me up and I'll give you the Elvis wedding. It's custom designed for everybody so far. I mean, down the line I may have enough requests for something that I make it an official package. But some of the things that have happened recently, I did a helicopter wedding for two people who were avid skydivers, so it makes total sense that they would want to get married in the air. I did one for a couple who was getting married around Halloween, and I was wearing this big, long, 8-foot black cape, and they wore vampire teeth when they did their first dance.
I could picture you with that. I think that would be a good look for you.
In a few weeks, I have two men who are getting married, and I'll be Glinda the Good Witch of the North, which will be really fun and playful. And the reason they're choosing to do that is because they love old movies. They just love old cinema.
Now, are you some sort of ordained minister or something?
I am in the process of becoming an ordained interfaith minister at One Spirit, which is an interfaith seminary in New York City.
So you're not actually doing the weddings then?
I do the weddings, yeah.
But you're not a minister yet, so all these are like...
Oh, I'm just
illegitimate
adding
weddings, basically?
No.
None of these people are really married.
No, that's not true. I first started to... Right now, I'm ordained by the Church of Spiritual Humanism, and I do weddings through...
Sorry, I doubted you.
I'm essentially a civil wedding officiant through New York City Hall, and so I'm taking the extra step of becoming an interfaith minister because people bring a lot of backgrounds, and I want to be able to understand what people are feeling from the inside, from their spiritual paths.
All right, we're going to a commercial. When we come back, I want to hear more about these people who ordained you, because this sounds like a fascinating organization. I think I saw that in the back of a comic book once. Wait, I'll be back.
Would you like to know what's going on in the Italian-American community and stay in touch, even if you don't live in Little Italy? There's a way to do it. There's a great newspaper out called GIA, the Giornale Italo-Americano. This newspaper is distributed nationally and comes out weekly, and you can subscribe by going to their website at www.giamondo.com, that's GIAMONDO.com, or call 718-592-2196. Check out GIA for all your information on what's happening in the Italian-American community. It's published in both Italian and English. It's a great way to read and follow up and practice your Italian as well. Check out GIA on the internet at www.giamondo.com. Gia Newspaper, the Italian-American newspaper for today.
If you love jazz, check out These Things We Dig, new CD by jazz sax, flute, and clarinet recording artist James Aldean on Sexton Records. James Aldean has recorded 7 CDs for Sexton Records and appears regularly in the New York metropolitan area, including the great venue, the Whiskey Cafe. These Things We Dig features some of the best jazz and bebop styles, with James fronting the band, complemented by such great players as Mike Fonella, Phil Jones, Bob De Benedette, Ron Naspo, and Wayne Dunton. You can get this new CD from Sexton Records by going to www.sexton.com. That's C-E-X-T-O-N.com. You can find out more about James Aldean at www.jldeanorchestra.com. For the best in jazz, it's Sexton Records, the audiophile jazz record label. Sexton.com.
Okay, we're back, and Barbara shared a kind of a disturbing anecdote with us while we were away. She was, as a child, didn't realize this was trapped in the back of her psyche, but there was apparently a clown lamp next to your bed, yeah, terrorizing you as a child?
Terrorizing, hopefully comforting. I found this out because I went to a baby shower 2 days ago, and someone had bought one of these clown lamps where the clown is holding some balloons on eBay and given it as a gift to the mother-to-be, who is a good friend of mine. And when I saw the lamp, I just stopped short, looked at the lamp, and thought, I had that lamp. And when you asked me to think about before coming on the show, you know, is there anything in your background that influenced you to be a clown, I'd completely forgotten that I probably woke up and went to sleep every day for the formative years of my life looking at this clown lamp.
Freud would have had a field day with you in more ways than one.
I said that sounds creepy.
Yes.
It does, really?
It does,
yeah.
I got
a little frightened of you.
I found it kind of alluring.
The fear you create with your whole clown persona and your little lamp.
I think I found it comforting.
Okay, well, or that. So now, Lynn, you do this clowning in the park thing. Why don't you tell us what that's about?
Well, basically, it's just carrying on what Barbara did the year before, which started me off on my clowning journey. So basically, Central Park is a wonderful place to clown, because you'll find that people really do like to play with you. I would say, you asked before about percentages or how many people will play with you. In Central Park, I say like 90%. It gets really that high. There are very few times that we clowned when people would just go like this, you know, stay away, that kind of thing. So
people want to be involved.
Yeah, to some extent. I mean, it's going to vary. But actually, what two of my favorite stories, if I can tell them.
Sure. We're not FCC regulated.
One of our clown friends, Chris, is an awesome, awesome clown. And he, one day, well, actually, I didn't know this. In the city parks, apparently, if you're an adult without children, you're not supposed to be in the playgrounds. And we didn't know that. So we went into that big playground right in the entrance of the park.
That's because of all the people in the park who do want to play with you.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, there was this family, and they had 3 young kids, and there was the 2 women. They were sitting on a bench eating their Cheetos and had liters of soda on their bench with them. So Chris went right up to them. He just plopped down on the bench right next to them, and he started eating the Cheetos right out of the bag. I said, I am so impressed. If I can get to that level with my clowning.
Of taking people's food?
Yes. And you could take stuff. I have like all these little
And you've
souvenirs.
Got a disguise on, so you eat their food, take off the nose, who would know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's wonderful. You could take little toys. And the other time, I think this is the 3rd time we went out, and I knew that I was really making progress, was when we came up upon this group of young people who were having like a party. And there was this guy standing there, and he had a big dunce cap on his head, you know, the big pointy thing. And I just came up behind him, and I just slowly lifted it off his head. And he turns around and looks at me, and it's like, yeah, whatever. And I just walked away with it. And it's like, he didn't care, but I mean,
you stole someone's clothing.
Yes.
Your friend ate their food.
Isn't it awesome?
This is like a gang of homeless people.
So in New York City, you can do basically whatever you want in the streets if you are either in costume wearing a clown nose or carrying a video camera and say you're making a film. If you do one of those two things, you have total creative license to basically have a field day with people and their stuff.
Now, if she's wearing the clown nose and I've got the camera,
then you have double freedom.
We can pretty much do anything to anyone.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, we got to work this out. Because I can take some pictures.
Okay.
The other thing
you
is
you own a nose.
I own a nose.
New York is a place where people want unusual things to happen. I mean, if you go to Times Square for 3 seconds, everyone goes there because, like, please, would someone do something interesting, unusual, so I can say, I was in New York and this thing happened. In San Francisco, it's the same way in a different kind of energy. So when we're out there in the park clowning with people, they're so happy because we're the unexpected thing that happened to them that day.
Right.
Now, when you're doing this kind of in the park thing, do you need any permits to do that, or can anybody just go start clowning around?
Never looked into that, but I...
Well,
you could be breaking the law.
Well, the clowns
stealing
are...
Stealing clothes, eating food, no permit.
I'm just an outlaw with clown nose on.
Well, we're not asking for money, so that's one thing. So we're not busking because we're not asking for donations.
Has anyone tried to give you money?
Yes.
And you turned it down?
I don't remember. Have we ever taken money?
I haven't seen that happen yet.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
No, it's... we're more like a band of...
Occupy Clown Street?
Yeah, we're going to occupy this bench with you. We're going to occupy this table in this restaurant with you for a little while.
Okay.
With my fork.
Yeah, you got me pinned back here. You've got
fork.
A fork, and somewhere you've got that long black cape, which I'm excited about. Any kind of police interaction ever with you guys?
Yes. There was one time when another of our friends, clowning friends, Johnny, we were about to enter the park, and what were we doing that was illegal? I don't remember. But this park ranger tried to stop us, and Johnny just charmed the pants off her. We just, like, did whatever the heck we wanted.
So you did take off people's clothing, basically.
Well, yeah. No.
When I've been a clown at community festivals, there's always police directing traffic, and it's fun to go and direct the traffic with the police. And because you've crossed over into that authority, then people really enjoy it because it's almost like there's this distance between us and the police. But then when the clown can go and break the barrier, it's a happiness for everybody.
Are the police okay with this generally?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun because it's a community festival.
Okay, now do you guys think you have an easier time of it because you're a woman? Can attractive women clown more than some big fat guy?
That is a really excellent question.
It's the only ones I ask.
I think in some circumstances,
you just think it's excellent because I said you were attractive, didn't you?
Well, it is my birthday. So that's my present. I think that because women have at least the reputation of being naturally more connective, that it might be easier for people to embrace
and less threatening.
Female energy.
I mean, less child molesters are women and less, you know, muggers are women and stuff.
But I think that clowns who are really listening, I think that goes beyond gender. And if you're really listening to the person that you're opening the invitation to, then that connection is fostered.
Yeah, I would say also on Halloween, when I had the blonde wig get up on, we were walking, I was with friends, and they give out Halloween candy in their neighborhood. And they were like, we were at 51st between 7th and 8th, and there were these two men walking, and they were having this animated conversation. I just kind of knew that they were cool and approachable. So I just came up to one of them on the right side, and I linked my arm with his, mm-hmm. and he just like turned around, like a little startled, and then he saw me. He's like, "Hey, baby, darling," you know. And then he started singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer with me. So, I think if in that situation on the street like that, if it had been a man approaching him, I don't know if he'd have been as
holding
okay
his
with
hand.
It.
Yeah.
Society needs people to bend the rules in a positive way because we can't go on with all the rules in place all the time. It's too deafening or too, what's the good word for that? It's too restrictive. It's too defining. It's too restrictive. And I mean, clowns are really like social servants in that way, where we're going to bend the rules to open up your world, open up your mind, open up your imagination. And
you're
let
anarchists,
you know.
Basically.
Yeah, kind of.
In a good way.
It's like anarchists for a good cause.
Yeah.
Now, have you guys made any friends who you met when you were doing your thing and they were just like pedestrians and you ended up maintaining a relationship with these people afterwards? Have you gone to the park, clowned around, and ended up like, hey, let's exchange numbers or anything?
I've given out some cards, but...
I got a date once.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and he turned out to be another clown, but he wasn't in any kind of he wasn't performing at the time, which is pretty funny.
Of Times Square.
In Times Square, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's certainly impressive. Okay, we're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk more clowns.
My name is Jerry Barnes, and you're listening to the song Absence by the group The Virgin Mary. This song is available at iTunes and CD Baby. Enjoy!
Hi, this is Mia. Listen to my show, Mia's World, every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as I interview artists, musicians, writers, and pretty much anyone that I'm passionate about in my Sagittarian world. So it's Mia's World, 9 o'clock Tuesdays on Centani Broadcasting, high-definition digital radio broadcasting to the world.
Don't try this at home. Okay, we're back. And Barbara, who seems like a very controlled person, they're very in control as clowns go, told us an interesting story in the break of how she lost control totally.
Yeah. Well, so the first time I took any kind of clown workshop, I already had a background in improvisation and improvisational comedy and like sketch comedy. But I went to study up at a place called Celebration Barn in up in Maine, which is a wonderful place to take a class if anyone's interested in going to do a workshop. And I was studying with a clown named Avner Eisenberg, who's a clown who's had a Broadway show, a really great teacher with a long history. And I was really used to being able to do, to just be smart at something, figure it out, you know, get an A on it, whatever it's going to be. And I had such a hard time because clowning is in so many ways about dealing with the things that aren't going right in your life. So as I was trying to perform and it wasn't working and I was trying to figure it out and I was getting so frustrated, eventually I had a complete meltdown and bawled my eyes out.
You were the crying clown.
I was a complete crying clown because
like in opera?
I had no ability to deal with failure.
The Pallucci or something?
Pagliacci.
And one of the most freeing things...
My Italian's a little off.
Just a little. One of the most freeing things about being a clown, which can be embraced by every human being, is that it frees you to be able to laugh at failure, deal with failure, put failure in a new light. And so I went away from it. But then, some years later, I was at a theater fundraiser, and I saw these three women clowns walking around the space, and I became totally transfixed with them, couldn't take my eyes off them. And it turned out that they had an all-women's clown company up in Boston. It was called Only Fooling. And I had to go and join them. So then I became part of the all-women's clown company, and that was it. And then since then, I've become much better at having a laugh at everything that goes on in my life, and I'm really actually quite grateful for that transformation.
So you lived in Boston?
I did, yeah, for 10 years.
And San Francisco, it sounds like.
And Portland, Maine, and Seattle, and Providence, Rhode Island. And
you've been around. That's my feeling.
I have.
And Lynn, have you been around as well?
Not that much. I'm a New York City person.
You're a sheltered, innocent type of clown.
I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
I would definitely not say that.
Put those marks down for Len.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you guys see Patch Adams, by the way?
Yeah, I have a lot of friends who either are his friends or have studied with him or have become inspired by him and gone on to start their own clown. I have a lot of friends who are hospital clowns, too, with the Big Apple Circus Clown Care Program, and I did that briefly myself 2 years ago.
What's that about?
That's hospital, pretty interesting. Hospital clowning?
Yeah.
It's about bringing a moment of playfulness into a hospital setting where it can be very difficult to feel playfulness. It's sort of like bringing the kid back into the kid. So Clowns Without Borders, that goes into places around the world, and Bond Street Theater also go to places in the world where people have suffered through wars or political struggles, bring clowns so that the kids can be kids for a while.
Or it's kind of like, I guess, when people bring pets into the hospital.
Yeah, yeah. It's a moment of peace, fun, joy, happiness, which just because you're sick in the hospital doesn't mean you can't have peace, fun, joy, and happiness. You just might need a hand.
Yeah, I actually had a chapter in my book about the health benefits of humor.
Yeah.
So are you guys like personal trainers, basically?
I think so. Do you think so, then?
I think, yeah, definitely. It's a way to transform yourself, clowning.
Yeah.
Definitely.
What about the whole laughter yoga thing? Have you guys done that at all?
Yeah. I became certified by the World Laughter Tour to be a laughter yoga leader, and I know a lot of other people who have done that, too. I used to run laughter clubs where the whole point was just to get together in a room and
laugh like lunatics.
Laugh like lunatics, which is very helpful and makes you feel good.
Now, do you guys work out a route? Well, do you do this in groups, I take it, sometimes? Or like Lynn's thing, you're not just going yourself into the park and doing this, right? There's other people with you to protect you from when you're stealing people's food?
Well, Barbara and I were doing it together this summer.
This coming summer or this past summer?
This past summer.
Is this planned for the future? Is it something we can, you know,
yeah, absolutely,
look forward to? Uh-huh.
You're gonna come next summer?
I think I might check you out.
Red nose?
Be into that.
It's so much fun.
I'm going to have to see after the show how you look in a red nose, see how into it I am.
And it's also a great workout, like we were talking about before. You know, it's very physical. We run, we climb hills, we climb on rocks, we play with kids. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a good workout for your imagination, for your heart, and for your body.
That's what they don't want you doing.
Right.
That's why they keep you out of the playground.
But sometimes you just can't help it.
That's what I've heard several people say that. But.
One of the myths is that clowning is for kids, and that's clowning is also for kids. Clowning is for adults. Clowning is for kids. Clowning is for elder adults. It's clowning is for people who are, for anyone who's alive, really.
Yeah.
So the dead are pretty
the
much.
Dead. I mean, there may be
zombie clowns.
Clowning in the afterlife.
Yeah.
Zombie clowns? That could be a horror film.
I mean, basically, if you're alive in the world, you face challenges every day. And
think
you need
of what we've come up with so far today. We've got a zombie clowns horror film. We've got the porno clowns porn film. I think we could create an entire industry of kind of like off-color filmmaking.
I think this industry probably already exists.
But you don't know of it, do you?
Well, no, but I
name three clown porno films.
I don't know.
Give them to me line by line. Well, where can we see you guys next? Like, what's your next? Do you, like, out of the park for the winter or what?
Yeah, it's not fun in the winter.
But it's like...
It could be fun in the winter.
I know, it's
so
mild.
It's 60 degrees today.
Yeah, well,
when did you quit?
We did the breaking expectations
thing. You quit in, like,
thing.
August or something? The summer was over for you already?
Well, this year, yeah. But, no, you can keep going. But when it does get cold, it's not that fun outside, so...
It's not really cold yet. Doesn't this woman have any staying power?
Come on, Lynn. Your nose is keeping your red nose is keeping your nose warm.
Get clowning.
I was in the New York Clown Theater Festival last year, and the New York Clown Theater Festival is every 2 years, and so there'll be another one coming up in 2012, and there'll be a lot of really awesome clown theater from international performers there. So that's a good thing to check out if you're interested in theater clowning.
Now, do you guys have a favorite famous clown that you can think of? I remember Bozo.
Yeah,
when
I remember
Bozo,
too.
You do.
But if we're talking about, like, teachers, that kind of stuff, Avner Eisenberg, I think, is awesome.
Well, what makes him stand out as a clown?
Oh, my God. It's like he's so natural about it, and he's very, almost like, you know, he doesn't need much to make you laugh. It just comes so easily and so naturally. Simply, I don't know.
It's distilled. He also has a long background in Aikido also, which I think also gives him this kind of,
right,
that kind of focus.
The way of divine harmony.
Yeah, I mean, he teaches it as part of his clown workshops.
Okay.
So if we're looking for me out in the world, it's Jester of the Peace. Jesterofthepeace.com is where to find me on the internet, and I have on there right now is my wedding related life, but my clown related life is about to be hooked up into there. I'm also in the process of creating a clown dance theater troupe. And so you can look for some new work from me in the next year.
So you have three websites, and they're all kind of getting melded into Jester of the Peace, right?
That's right. They're all going in the same direction. I used to hide the fact that I was a clown from my wedding clients because I thought they wouldn't want to get married by a clown, and I was so wrong.
Oh.
People like me more because I do unusual things.
I know I do. Lynn.
And me.
Let's get a hold. How do we get a hold of you?
LynnLevity.com. L-Y-N-N Levity.com.
And when is your next performance of some kind? I mean, it sounds like...
I'm doing play shops right now at a place called City Life Wellness in Brooklyn the last Saturday of every month at 2:30. And I'm looking to add a lot more to my calendar. So just check my events calendar is the best thing to do.
And what do people learn in this play shop you're teaching?
Well, it's basically that mix of the clowning exercises and some energy exercises, tantra... And
you teach us how
food.
To use any of the apparatus. Oh, wait, I just heard sexual. And I
sensual.
Said, oh.
Food meditation.
Okay. Well, that's our show for today. We've had a good time with the clowns. We will be back next week with the legendary Harold Black, Alan Merrill, the writer of the classic I Love Rock and Roll, and my good friend Marge Raymond. But for now, we're gone.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you.
You are listening to the Centanni Broadcasting Network, CENTANNI Broadcasting.com, in high definition digital stereo.